welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Turn the Light On. Pastor Kevin Radlin here from Lighthouse Christian Church. And once again, we are here on the airwaves, just ready to talk to you about Jesus. You know, we want you to walk in the fullness of the calling of God in your life. You know, what's the purpose of the radio program? It's so that you can know that you're more than a conqueror. You can walk in faith and not in fear, and that you can grasp that when, you know, you give your life to Christ, that you carry the Spirit of God, the Creator inside you. Things like that are just, it's important to know those things about being in a walk with the Lord. And, you know, that's what we're doing here on the radio waves and through the podcast. You can catch us every weekday at 7:30 a.m. on 91.5 FM if you're listening by podcast, or if you're listening by radio, you can catch us by podcast on our website at ourlighthouse.net. We'd love for you to join us anytime throughout the day. Catch up. If you miss it in the morning, come back, you know, and catch us. But I always like to do the program with a special guest, and I have a very special guest today. Miss Caitlin Poulin is with us today, formerly Caitlin McQuinn.
That's right.
Right? So Caitlin Poulin's with us, and I just want to welcome you to the program, Caitlin.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, so glad to have you. And, you know, we typically bring a topic or a saying or something, you know, biblical, or we just look at life and the different perspectives that life can bring, and we try to bring that to the air and then just kind of break it down, talk about it, and see what God's got to say, and allow the Holy Spirit to just kind of move with us. And I usually have the co-host bring the topic, so what's your topic today?
Well, I wanted to talk about how personal prayer is and that looks can be deceiving when you're looking in from the outside. So I kind of wanted to start out by talking about somebody that I think we've all seen. If you're a follower of Christ and you've been to church, not necessarily even regularly, but really at all, I think every church has people like this. But, you know, there's those people that you see in church on a Sunday morning and they look like they are on fire for God. They're saying all the right things. They're dressing the right way. They're, you know, probably the loudest one during praise and worship. But then on Monday morning, you know, they go back to who they were on Saturday night.
Oh, got you. Or Friday, or
yeah,
just and, doing everyday life.
And, yeah,
you know, I hate to say like they're a hypocrite because I don't necessarily believe that people that can be like that sometimes are hypocritical. I think they just are compartmentalizing their life with God, and I think that can be dangerous sometimes. You know, when you say, "All right, I'm at work, so I have to be work." Me, and then I'm at home and I have to be home me, and then I'm at church, so I have to be church me. When really, I think God's looking for us to be transparent in all that we do and allow ourselves to be the same everywhere.
Yeah.
And we're interacting at work or at home or, you know, even out and doing things. But, you know, it's crazy though when you see people and you know, it's like, all right, you can't possibly be that zealous.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
in every moment of your life.
Absolutely. You know, and it, I think that there is, there are obviously are certain people who just are that on fire all the time. But I think more where the Lord was leading me when I was doing my study here was more about the ones who are seeking affirmations from people around
right.
them versus seeking God's,
the praises of men
yes.
rather than being obedient and
exactly
living your life before the Lord.
Yeah, because if you don't have a good relationship with the Lord, then it feels good to have people look at you and be like, oh, you're doing the right things. What you're doing, yeah, that person looks great. They must be, you know, living a great life.
They got it all together.
Exactly. And so hearing that praise when you don't have your confidence coming from God,
right.
you have your confidence coming from people around you, that feels good
yeah,
in the moment.
Until you don't get some.
Exactly. And so I think a lot of times, you know, we see people like that. And I've been one of those people, you know, when probably 8-9 years ago.
Right. You know, just super involved in church. Family grew up in church.
Right. But I think a lot of times if you've grown up in church, there's a lot of opportunity to fall away and fall into worldly patterns. But I was still active in church. I just kind of had that mentality of, I don't want anyone to see what's going on with me at home.
Right.
I only want them to see what I'm presenting here at church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. And so I've been that person where it's like
a mask. Yeah, you put a mask on.
Absolutely. And so,
masked Christianity. Wow. That's
pretty
a sermon.
Crazy. It really is. I mean, because God's not calling us to, impress all the people around us. He's calling us to seek after him.
You know, as a pastor, I can fall into that at times. You know what I mean? I'm kind of an approval guy. Extroverted, sanguine personality type, and you pat me on the back, tell me I'm doing good, and I'll do anything for you. You know, I just love praise and things like that. So I had to learn to adjust to not seek the praises of people, you know, and it's a maturity thing. And, you know, I don't want to really just like throw the hammer down on people that are that, because many of them really just want people to like them. Mm-hmm. They just want people to, you know, believe that they believe and so forth. But I think we can definitely get out of balance.
Absolutely.
So what would you say in scripture? Where would you turn to look at a topic like this?
Well, so the first thing that the Lord brought to my attention is in Matthew 6, specifically really verses 1-5. And then leading into verse 6 is kind of where it centers up. But it says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you."
So good.
Yeah. And so
I've done that. You know, it's like, oh, homeless guy over here. Look, I'm gonna bless him. Yeah. Everybody, look, I'm giving him a 20.
Yeah. Look how awesome I am.
I'm the best guy ever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there in my life at times, mm-hmm. and I've done things for the praises of men. And the fear of all that is knowing that, you know, God sees your heart.
Yes.
He sees who you really are. He knows. I mean, I don't want to get to heaven one day and have God look at all of my life and then figure out in that moment that I did it all for me.
Right. For him,
and
I
didn't do
him.
It for him. Yeah. Now, I love Jesus, and mm-hmm. my salvation's not hanging in the balance over it, but you know, there's that talk of, you know, the wheat and the chaff, mm-hmm. and that all the works of your life are going to just come into that moment, and it's going to all come under the fire of God, and only those things which have eternal, I say this a lot to people, you know, they have eternal significance.
Yes.
In our lives, and you can do the right thing with the wrong motive, and
absolutely.
The eternal significance is lost in it.
Yeah.
So I think this is so good, man. What a great topic.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for bringing this. Let's talk more.
I was kind of blown away when the Lord started to lay it on my heart, because I've kind of started off kind of harsh a little bit, like, hey, man, this is, you know, but that's really not the Lord's heart about this. You said an important point earlier that, you know, it's really like they're seeking approval from others because they need that for themselves.
They want to be validated in life.
Right.
We all do.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that. That means that something is deficient, though. And maybe they realize that what they're seeking, no person in their world is ever going to be able to fulfill for them. What they're truly seeking is an in-depth relationship with Jesus that they just haven't found yet.
Wow, that's so good.
So when it gets to under the topic in my Bible, it says the Lord's Prayer in the next section, starting in verse 5.
We're talking about prayer and how it's personal.
Yes, exactly. But going into verse 6 is where I really love that the Lord kind of brings it home when Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Mm.
And so that's where I wanted to focus up today, that prayer is personal. You know, when you're
it's a secret place moment.
Yeah.
That's so good.
It's not for anybody else. And it's okay to want that approval from those around you. But if that's what you're seeking, then maybe you haven't truly discovered that that's not actually what you're really seeking.
Right.
And in those moments where you decide to, okay, nobody's watching, I'm going to sit down and it might be uncomfortable at first, but I'm going to just sit here and talk to God and I have no idea what I'm going to talk about and I have no idea how to start or what to say, but I'm just going to do it. I'm going to sit down and talk to him. And he is so intentional and faithful to show up every single time.
That is good.
It blows me away. But that's where it says it right here. Your father, that's personal, who sees in secret will reward you. He shows up every time. And so like I said earlier, you know, I was one of those people where I knew I'd grown up in church.
Yeah.
I knew
the drill.
Yeah. I knew how to play the part. And so, but I hadn't read scripture for myself. I hadn't developed any relationship with the Lord outside of what I heard on a Sunday morning.
Right. Well, I call it living your parents' faith.
Yes. 100%.
You know, my parents brought me to church, so I'm living in their shadow. Mm-hmm. They're doing church, so I'm doing church.
Yeah.
But I never really done church on my own for myself. I was really intentional with my kids about them reaching a certain age and saying, all right, you got to figure out God for yourself, you know, and some have figured it out to a point where I'm really excited about that, and some have, you know, I don't know, I wouldn't say fallen short, but they've landed a little differently than I would have hoped that they would have landed. And they all love Jesus. Yeah. They all are saved. You know, I can definitely say that all of my kids know the Lord.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have a few that are just powerhouses,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Oh,
I mean,
for sure.
They're like kicking the devil in the teeth, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and speaking from experience, those of us that do fall away, you know, we're on fire for God in our teenage years, but our parents raised us in the way we should go, as it says in scripture. Those of us that do fall away, we do recognize what that path is for our lives at some point.
Sure. Yeah. Know? God brings you back around.
Absolutely.
You know, I call it going around the mountain, you know, like the children of Israel they were kids, you know. Moses was the dad, and he'd go up on the mountain and be with God. And God's like, no, tell him out. I want him to come.
Yeah.
You know, I want him to be in my presence. They're like, we don't want to go. We don't want to go. You go for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they'd go around the mountain again, you know, and around the mountain again. You know, sooner or later in our lives, we've got to get to a place where that secret place becomes real for us.
Yes.
And we don't go around the mountain anymore. We go up the mountain to the secret place and where the presence of God is, where, you know, he's going to meet with us face to face, one on one. And, you know, by the blood of Jesus, we have the ability to do that in our lives right now.
Yeah.
You know, it was different in the Old Testament. You know, they were like, they'd seen people drop dead. They'd seen priests get pulled out of the tent. They had seen the power of holiness and God's presence and their sin and that separation. But, you know, through Christ now, that's been wiped away. So that secret place is available to each and every person who will call on the name of Jesus.
Yes.
He died so that you could walk into that place and go pray in your room and shut the door and pray in secret to your Father.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the Lord's Prayer. I think it's where you're kind of, going with some of this.
Yeah. And I mean, Jesus in the next section, he does say in scripture, the only reason I'm not going to read through it today is because I want to challenge anybody who's listening today to go through it for themselves. I want you to go to Matthew 6 and read through the Lord's Prayer. And so if you don't have a place to start and you're not sure where to go after that, then I challenge you to go read that for yourself. Because that's a really great place to start.
That's good. I encourage.
I like what you said about getting alone and getting in your secret place, you know, where it says shut the door and be alone with the Lord. Because it actually, as I was reading through that, the Lord brought to my mind Jonah 2.
Okay.
And Jonah was running from the Lord. He had an assignment and he didn't want to do it.
Right.
You know? And so it's interesting to me how maybe God doesn't show up like this in our daily lives right now.
Right.
But he certainly is seeking after us this hard. Where, I mean, he sent a fish to swallow Jonah up whole because he wasn't about to run away from his assignment.
Right.
The Lord needed him to be somewhere.
Yeah.
For a specific reason and purpose because he had plans. And so it was in the belly of that fish when this is something that you've talked about a few times with a little bit of doctrine here. It's interesting that if you read scripture, you see Jonah actually died in the belly of that fish.
Right.
But I mean, he was truly alone with the Lord.
But before he did die, though, he cried out.
Yes.
He says, "And you heard my voice."
Yes. I called out to the, it says in Jonah 2, verse 2, Jonah says, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress and he answered me." So this is somebody that's been running from God. He knows God's there. He knows he has an assignment.
Right.
But he's been running and he doesn't want to do it.
Right.
And even then, I called out to the Lord out of my distress and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried and you heard my voice.
Right.
You can't go far enough away for God to not be able to hear you.
Well, do you know where Sheol is, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's,
yeah.
That was...
that's hell, basically.
Well, it was Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
You know, prior to Jesus coming, Abraham's bosom, there was two pieces of hell. There was paradise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then there was Sheol, you mm-hmm. know, which was the separation place, you yeah. know, where if up to that point, if you had done the sacrifices, if you'd lived your life in the righteous way, you know, you were waiting for Christ in Abraham's bosom,
yes.
which was called paradise. That's why Jesus, when he looked at the thief on the cross, he didn't say, "Today, surely you'll be with me in heaven." He said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise because I got to go to hell."
Yeah.
And I got to tell everybody who's in paradise that I have come and that now yeah. is the time for the resurrection. And when he was raised from mm-hmm. hell, and all of, you know, those who were in paradise came with him, and it says people were seen all around.
Oh, that's
right.
Amazing.
And then
yeah.
but all those who were in Sheol did not.
Right.
So but you God can hear your cries from yes. there. So even though it says he was dead, he was in Sheol
mm-hmm.
and he cried out. And he had been cast into the deep.
Yeah.
God did raise him back up. He didn't leave him there.
Right. That's exactly right. And it was in that darkness, in that quiet place, where he refocused and called out to the Lord and humbled himself.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'd be saying. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so cool because I just love that idea that it says in verse 7, "When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you into your holy temple." Like if you think about that, our prayers are coming right into his temple. That he spent chapters and chapters and chapters in the Old Testament talking about how specific this temple is, how personal this temple is, like how particular he is about every single little thing. This temple is precious. And our prayers go right up into his temple.
Right.
Like right into his presence. Like there's nothing.
Well, his presence would come down in the camp, in the tabernacle,
right. Yes.
You know, when everything
yes.
was there and they built it exactly the way.
Yes.
You know, it's exactly, it had to be built exactly.
Absolutely.
And then the presence of God would
yes.
come. Yeah, I love it.
And so it's cool that our prayers enter right in there with him and are part of that. And so what struck me with that, though, is because of the fact that Jonah had to come to a place where he was by himself, just him and the Lord. And he hadn't been doing all of the right things. He hadn't been, nobody looked at him and said, "Oh, yeah, he's got it all together." It wasn't about that. It was about his heart
posture.
He
was having a personal moment with
yes,
God.
In secret.
And that's prayer.
Yeah. And the Lord answered him like he always does. you know? And so
I really feel like this year God is calling everyone to intimacy. So those of you who are listening out there, you know this, that God is actually after you. He wants your prayer life. He wants intimacy. He wants you in that secret place that we talked about in Matthew 6. Mm-hmm. He's beckoning you to come and to be with him and to share your life with him in those moments.
Yeah, 100%. I love that prayer is what gives us access to, it says in scripture, prayer gives us access to the heavenly places, which is where Jesus is, which is where we have blessings waiting for us. It talks about in Ephesians, in heavenly places. And so prayer is like opening a door to, I mean, you're creating a conversation with the person who loves you, the one who loves you more than anything could ever possibly love you and has more good for you than anyone you know could ever possibly have for you. That's the conversation you're starting. And that's the one you're asking to enter in into your life and into that situation. And so I just love, like, prayer is access to him.
Sure.
He makes himself available to us 24/7 through prayer.
Yeah.
And it's such
it's like
just
picking
a powerful
up the phone.
Tool. Yeah.
You can call him anytime. Yeah. You can, through prayer, access the heavenly realm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's different types of prayer. We don't have time to really break all of that down. But ultimately, you know, the Bible says, like, pray without ceasing. Yes. How do you do that? You're always connected to the voice of the Lord. You're always listening. You're always ready. God was to contact you or say, I need you to pray for that person. I need you to do something for me. I need you to go here. I need you to sow over there. That you are open and listening, that God's not having to kick the door in to get your attention. That's what praying without ceasing is. It's being ever mindful of that secret place and being personally connected with God.
Yes.
Because prayer is what? Personal.
Yes.
Right? So, hey guys, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk a little bit more about prayer. Caitlin, what a great topic. This has been amazing. We'll see you guys in a minute.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome
in this place.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Join us every Thursday night for Discipleship Encounters here at Lighthouse Christian Church. That's right, it's Thirsty Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and we're spending time learning, encountering, and becoming equipped as believers for the great revival that's beginning to unfold. Come experience the power of the gospel and learn how to share Christ in a modern world. For more information, go to ourlighthouse.net or show up at 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's no cost for this event, and child care is provided.
Are you 18 to 29 years old? If so, Launch Young Adult Ministries is the place you want to be. We meet every Sunday night at 6:30 in the Double Bubble at Lighthouse Christian Church, 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's fun and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you to where God wants you to be. For more information about Launch, check us out at our website, ourlighthouse.net, or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministries. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be
joyful. Yes, I am. Right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. It's me and Caitlin Poulin hanging out here. I turned the light on. And Caitlin, you brought the topic today, and we've been talking about prayer and the different aspects of prayer. But the biggest thing that we talked about is prayer is personal.
Yeah.
Okay? And we've talked about just the intimacy of that. You went into Matthew 6. We talked a little bit about Jonah and how powerful his prayer was that God heard it all the way from Sheol, which was hell, and actually raised him back up. And, you know, some of us can be in the pit. Some of us can be struggling. And here's what I'd have to say to you today. Caitlin, share with them a little bit about, you know, how intimate prayer can be life-changing.
Yeah, well, so in John 15:15, these are Jesus' words himself. He said, "I do not call you servants any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends, because I have revealed to you everything that I have heard from my Father."
That's so good.
Yeah, really what it all boils down to is that Jesus is saying he's our friend. And the same way that you build and maintain your relationship with the people in your life that are important to you, with your parents and with your best friend and your spouse, you do that by communicating with them, by talking to them,
right,
by having conversations and getting to know each other. And that is what the Lord seeks from us. He wants us to pray because he wants to talk to us.
Yeah.
You know?
He wants to have a relationship with us.
Yes.
To me, I would say what I hear you saying right now is that prayer is intimate friendship.
Yes.
And God is looking for an intimate, personal, one-on-one relationship with you. He's calling you in Matthew 6 to your prayer closet, to that secret place where he can meet with you.
Yes.
He doesn't want to meet corporately with you and everybody, and he's not looking for you to be out there praying in front of everybody with these grandeur prayers and and just saying empty words. He wants that one-on-one stuff. He wants that intimacy. He wants that behind closed doors.
Yes.
Let's close the door. Let's have a real relationship kind of moment of intimacy. And I believe that that's the call for 2024 this year. God is calling us to the carpet. He's calling us to be on our face, to be on our knees, and to be saying, God, we want more of you than ever in our life.
Yes, absolutely. And the public prayers and stuff, that should be the cherry on top.
Right.
But the real meat and potatoes is the prayer that happens when nobody's looking. Yeah. That's the relationship he's seeking.
Do you know him?
Yes.
You know, Jesus is well worth exploring and knowing. So guys, we hope you enjoyed the program today. Make prayer a priority in your life as you turn the light on in your prayer life through what we've shared today. So God bless you guys. We'll see you next time on Turn the Light On.
All right. See you then.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Marathon, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.